Welcome to the Deuce Podcast. I am Bradley.
And I am a Jeremy.
And we are doing episode 78, Jeremy.
78.
Better late than never. We are doing National Treasure, Book of Secrets. I think it's called National Treasure, Book of Secrets. There's no two in this, is there?
Nope.
Just National Treasure, Book of Secrets.
Correct.
My favorite Harry Potter movie. The Nicolas Cage vehicle.
Yes.
The Walt Disney movie.
Which I think was just...
National Treasure?
Well, they were making like Pirates of the Caribbean and other movies like that. I think this was supposed to be for that Hall of Presidents ride.
I don't... Come on.
Hey. Revitalize that property.
Some things about this movie. It is a sequel to the first National Treasure movie.
Very appropriate.
Bruce Greenwood plays the president in this movie.
Inappropriate. He's Canadian.
He's Canadian. I don't know why he's playing the president of the United States, but I guess it's better than nothing.
Bruce Greenwood's pretty suave. I think that's fair.
I think that's why. some people that come back are John Voight.
Yep.
Some people that surprise us and decide to show up in this movie include Helen Mirren.
Yes.
As Nicolas Cage's mom.
Yep. Dr. Emily Gates.
Dr. Emily Gates.
Emily Appleton Gates.
Emily Appleton Gates?
Yeah.
She related to Larry Appleton?
Yeah. Cousin Larry. It's her cousin.
Cousin Larry Appleton. So, yeah, they haven't seen each other in a while, so we call them perfect strangers, don't you think?
Exactly. That is exactly correct.
Do you have anything else about this movie
that you want to talk about? No, but I know that it... So, the first film came out, huge success, which is why they came back and did this one. Now, they were going to, I think it got like, it was $220 million in North America.
Yes.
$237 million in other territories.
Yeah, like it was a huge hit.
Yeah.
And then the second one even grossed more money.
Yeah.
So you figured, why wouldn't they do a third movie, you say? Well, folks, that's when we started getting a lot of the Avengers movie, the Marvel movies. So the Disney were they were kind of focusing on the Marvel movies, which is
yeah. Now this film did earn two Razzie Award nominations.
Really?
Yep. Worst actor for Nicolas Cage.
Okay.
And worst supporting actor for John Voight. Now they also were nominated. I think I don't know if it was at the same time. But they also received worst actor nominations for Ghost Rider and Next for Nicolas Cage, and Bratz the movie, September Dawn, and Transformers for John Voight. But lost.
Nothing as bad as John Voight in Anaconda, but it's so great bad.
I don't know. I thought he's pretty bad in Transformers, but terrible. They both lost to Eddie Murphy in Norbit.
There you go.
There you go.
I thought you were going to say Pluto Nash.
How dare you? It's a well-known fact.
For
that
those
I,
of you
that
don't
I love.
Know, Jeremy loves the movie The Adventures of Pluto Nash.
I don't know why.
He's made me watch that 500 times.
He saw it once on HBO.
But
and
it
then
felt
bought
like
it on
500 times.
One, and then bought it on DVD.
One time in that movie feels like 500 times.
I enjoyed it more before I watched it with you because you ruined the illusion that good for me.
I'm not a phony. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
And you know what else is not phonies?
What's that?
The No Phony Podcast Network.
That makes sense.
I'm a good, you know, I put that in there. But good segue.
They call it a segue.
Ooh, I'm riding my segue, just like Paul Blart Mall Cop. Anyway.
Exactly like.
The No Phony Podcast is a podcast network that has tons of podcasts, very different that you can choose from, including our podcast, Miles and Crawford, MC Variety Hour, it's one of my faves, the Release the Clowns, a little sketch comedy show.
Yep.
Some sports.
Yep. BS3 Sports and Music, Bats and Balls podcast. Balls.
You want some Bible? You can have
a
that
fresh
show.
Fresh take on the Bible. Bible? Yeah.
Everything.
Bible-ish. Yeah.
There you go. And so check out them, shall we?
Yes.
Check out all the podcasts that you want. It's a smorgasbord of podcasts.
Smorgasbord.
The No Phony Podcast Network. So check them out. But you know what, Jeremy?
Yeah.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hi, we're the Grave Girls from Grave Girls Podcast. I'm your host, Hawthorne.
And I'm Amaryllis. Every week we watch a different horror film, and I find a scary story that goes with it that will definitely leave you shaken in your boots.
And if you aren't wearing boots, my true crime case and murder will scare the pants off you.
And then you'll just be naked, and that's just a fun time.
So listen to us on SoundCloud and iTunes.
And follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Don't forget to check out our website at grave-girls.com.
We love you all in case we die.
Bye!
And we're back.
We are back.
Back, back, back.
Welcome back.
Woo, we hope you enjoyed that commercial break. Woo. All right.
Oh my gosh, are you okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Are you?
I am okay.
I'm just crazy because I was thinking about the time you made me watch Pluto Nash.
Oh, that'll do it. That will do it.
That was my second favorite Rosario Dawson.
What's his name? Crazy Pants Quaid. Randy Quaid is a giant bald robot.
Oh, God, he is in that. Oh, don't make me relive that.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I know, it just hit me.
We are not doing that movie. We are doing National Treasure Book of Secrets.
Correct.
Which is the third in the volume of Harry Potter movies, correct? I keep saying Harry Potter because it was always like Chamber of Secrets.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But the Chamber of Secrets was the second one there,
not the
too.
Book of Secrets. Yeah, it was the second one, wasn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, it was, I think.
Should we drop the deuce on this?
Yeah, we definitely should.
Yep.
Okay. So, the year was 1865.
The year was 1865. It was.
So it's basically
wonderful year.
The movie starts off. It's April 15th, 1865. It's just like a few days, obviously, after the end of the Civil War.
Right.
So John Wilkes Booth and one of his famous conspirators, Michael O'Loughlin, enter a tavern in Washington, D.C., and go to the back and they find this man who's like working.
This is a nice looking tavern for that time.
Yeah, it looks pretty seedy, but swanky. You think it's pretty swanky?
No, I don't.
But there's a man who's by a fire, kind of working in his books, and we learn that that man is Thomas Gates.
I am Thomas Gates,
the ancestor of Benjamin Gates.
Yes.
So they give Thomas Gates a diary, and it's John Wilkes Booth's diary, and he says, "Hey, there's a can you decode this?
Right? Yeah, decode it or whatever."
And he goes, "Well, it might be this kind of a cipher. I don't know." And like he'd kind of sent his son out of the room, but he's like, "I don't know." I think it's a Playfair cipher, and he says, but I need, like, a code word or code phrase.
Yeah. So, you know, the code phrase was, you kill Lincoln, wasn't it?
It was the debt that all men pay.
That's right.
And so...
And that's what I had to pay from watching Pluto Nash. A debt.
The debt that all men pay. Death.
Death, yeah.
For watching Pluto Nash.
Death and taxes. It was April 15th, by the way. But
yeah, it was. So the Booth says, "Hey, I'll be right back," and he takes off, and so he's heading out to obviously assassinate President Lincoln.
Do you think if like John Wilkes Booth went to a restaurant and they were like table or booth, he'd be like, "No, I'm Booth."
Table Booth, correct.
Correct. Your Table Booth?
Correct. No, the, so Thomas deciphers the code and realizes that this is, these men are members of the Knights of the Golden Circle, which was like a group of Confederate sympathizers who thought they were kind of like aristocrats.
Mm.
And so he realizes,
We don't have any of those guys anymore.
No, they're all gone. We
got rid of them.
We got rid of every last
Along
one.
Along with racism, we got rid of them.
Yeah, it's gone. We're post-racial America. Yep. So he realizes, oh shit, these guys are Confederate sympathizers. And he hears, like, all of a sudden there's a commotion. They start chasing everybody out because President Lincoln has been assassinated. And so he's like, oh no. So he rips the pages out of the diary to go throw it in the fire. And as he throws it in the fire, it doesn't go all the way up. It only burns part of it, like part of the codes and everything. But the guy shoots Thomas Gates. So, and then as he's dying, he tells his son just one last thing, and that's the debt that all men pay.
One nice thing. You really, our last name's Columbo.
Yeah. So now flash forward to Ben Gates. So Thomas Gates' great-great-grandson. He's giving a lecture at the like a civilian heroes conference talking about his great-great-grandfather. So he's going through, he's telling the story about how he... you know, he helped to, you know, catch the Knights of the Golden Circle or whatever, and like, you know, how he was assassinated for helping, trying to stop them. But that in the last moment he saved many more people because he burned those pages.
Sure.
So while he's talking, there's this kind of black market antiques dealer, Mitch Wilkinson, who is played by Ed Harris. Yep. So he shows up and he challenges Ben Gates. Again, Ben Gates played by Nicolas Cage.
Nick Cage.
So he challenges him and says, you know, hey, you know, what if I told you that that was all bullcrap? Like, that's not how that happens. So he brings up one of the 18 missing pages of John Wilkes Booth's diary, and it has Thomas Gates' name written on it. And so with the list of other conspirators. So they thought, wait a minute. You know, so he was one of the conspirators, and Ben is saying, nope, that's not possible. But he insists that he wants to see it and test it to figure out what's going on. And so they're looking through it, and it has these Latin names next to everybody about, like, people who are getting the horses. It has horse written next to him. And next to his father, or his great-great-grandfather's, it has the word for mastermind in Latin. And he's like, oh, so, like, he planned all of this. And he's like, that's not possible. And so they think that, well, maybe it means...
They think that he's the mastermind behind
Yeah,
it.
His
favorite board game was Mastermind.
What's Mastermind?
Mastermind. You ever play Mastermind?
No.
It was like Mastermind was where you have these pegs, right? And
yeah.
Color pegs, and you choose different colors and the way that you place them, and then you put something over them so the other person doesn't know, and then they have to guess what order and what color those pegs are in.
Oh.
And so they guess, and then if you get it right, parts of it right, you either put a red or like a white peg where it's at. So you know, like, that's the right color, or that's the right area where it's supposed to be. That's Mastermind.
I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, Mastermind.
Jeez. Yeah, no clue. Anyway, so they think he's the mastermind behind this. Benjamin points out that, hey, maybe this just means that he's, like, he's like the genius or something, where he's supposed to crack the code. That's what they were using him for.
He could have wrote Operation. Maybe he was he liked the game Operation.
Maybe that's what it should have been.
That's what it should be. Or Trouble. Yep.
Risk.
Or Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or Pictionary.
That Connect would have been 4.
Good. Connect 4.
They go and they start checking it out, and they realize, they're like, sorry, Ben, it looks like your great-great-great-great-grandfather was in on this. So he heads home, and he talks to his father, and it looks like he's kind of fallen on hard times. He lives with his dad. You know, and last time we saw him, he had some gorgeous house with Abigail, played by Diane Kruger. So at the end of the first movie, he had this...
How do I know... Where do I know her from besides these movies? Do you know?
This? I don't know.
From this?
She's German, so I never really knew...
She is German. That's why, like, I never understood, because, you know, she has an American accent, obviously.
She was in the movie Troy. She was Helen of Troy.
Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
I really don't know that much. Could you pick a
movie I've seen? How about was she in Pluto Nash?
She was in Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, she was.
Yeah.
Was she in that?
Bridget.
I thought you were going to tell me she was the Inglourious Bastard.
No, she was Bridget von Hammersmark.
Okay. She was. Oh, no, she wasn't that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No, and she's been in some other things.
Yeah.
She was in an episode of Fringe. Or maybe the movie Fringe. No, it was an episode of Fringe.
Okay.
She played Miranda Green in, like, the Clue episode. Or a Clue-type episode. Anywho. So he's not there with her, which is odd. But he's staying with his dad, and his dad has, like, junk everywhere. What looks like Thomas just... Or right. Benjamin put his... whole, like, the entirety of his house in his dad's place.
I did read some behind the scenes. This is the same house that they used in Father of the Bride and Father of the Bride 2.
Nice.
Yeah. And when you watch Father, because I remember watching Father of the Bride a lot. I don't know why I watched that movie all the time, but I did. And that's the house.
Yeah. So if we watch Father of the Bride 2... The house will be the repeat offender.
Yes, the house will be the repeat offender. Correct.
Nice. So Ben tells his dad that he's going to go get Abigail to let him look at the pages. So he drives out. First off, they're going to steal her pass to go get it. So, like, he picks up Riley. Riley Poole, who again is played by Justin Bartha.
Yes. Who I don't really see him anymore in anything. He used to be very popular back in the day.
You know, I don't even remember seeing him in that much back in the day.
Really? He was in that situation comedy.
Yeah.
With what's his bucket? Where the
new normal.
Couple. Yeah, the new normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I really don't remember him much.
He was in Geely.
Okay, but I've never seen that. So was he in Pluto or Nash?
No, he wasn't.
Okay.
So Riley, in the meantime, has written this book that has, like, all these conspiracy theories in it.
Sure, yeah.
And, of course, he says that he's one of the people who found the treasure, and they're like, you're Benjamin Gates? He has no notoriety, so he's irritated.
No, I'm the guy that helps Benjamin Gates.
Yeah. I'm his partner.
You notice, like, these movies, it's very much like the Jack Bauer syndrome or the one guy on CSI where they're like, everyone knows that guy. Yeah. Oh, you're Benjamin Gates.
Yeah.
You're Jack Bauer. I know you.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, come on.
Must be what everybody who worked with Don Ballard felt like. Riley goes outside, or this girl is like, hey, do you drive a red Porsche? And he's like, yeah. And she goes, oh, it's getting towed. And so he's like running, trying to stop it. Well, it gets towed because he owes back taxes on it. apparently he owed shitloads of taxes, and you know, they make a joke about the IRS taking everything that he has. But they're like, well, hey, we can, you know, help me out. It'll make you feel better. So he follows Ben to the old estate. And they're going to get Abigail's pass to go into the lab to use the imaging. And they don't want her to find out because obviously they're on the outs. So they get to the house, and when they get there, Abigail shows up. So she's still in the home. She shows up along with a guy who she's going out with on a date, Connor, who's like one of the White House press secretaries played by Ty Burrell.
Ty Burrell, of all people. This had to be before Modern Family.
It was, yeah.
Because Ty Burrell was more of like a bit player. He would show up in sitcoms
here
and there, but he was always like the background guy, kind of guy. The second banana, you would say.
He actually, when the Hulk movie came out for through Marvel, he was in that too. So I know that was like before he really took off.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, so she shows up with Connor, and they realize that Ben is there. He's like, hey, I need you to help me. They basically send Connor away. They go, and they start looking at everything. And while they're examining the pages, they realize there's something on the backside of... the backside of the page. And so it is, they flip it and they see the Playfair cipher on there. So they're attempting to decode it, and they talk to Thomas Gates, his dad, or excuse me, Patrick Gates, his dad, and say, you know, tell us about something because we're trying to figure out what this code might be. And he talks about where his grandfather told him the story about how, you know, his father, you know, looked at him in the eyes and said, the debt that all men pay. And that's when they realized it was death. So they use that as the code, and that's what triggered the cipher. So,
okay.
So those were the five letters that they needed to crack it.
Sure.
So they realized that the code led them to, it was like the Twin Ladies or something like that.
Yes. Which is a restaurant, right?
Yeah, that's okay. Right. That's correct. It was, it took them to a restaurant. National Treasure. The Hunt for the
Boobs of Secrets.
Oh my God.
So it's like two ladies. And so what they mean by ladies, I mean the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah. So they said, okay, well, or it was Lavallee's Ladies.
Lavallee's Ladies. Yeah.
And so they're like, oh, okay. So that's what it was. So they're like, okay, let's think about this. And so they go to France because Edouard Lavallee, the guy who...
there's three Statue of Liberties, right?
Yes, there are. Yeah, there's one in, I think it's the U.S., Germany, and then in like Germany and whatever gardens, and then there's one in France.
France, yeah.
Because he made the one in France and then gave the other two as gifts to the others.
Right.
But they went to find, they said, well, there's only one he calls his lady, and that's the one in France.
Hey, lady!
Lady, I'm Edward Lavallee! Lavallee! Anyway, so they go to Paris, and so they are flying a drone helicopter.
Drone, yeah.
Trying to get a good visual of it, and they finally get a picture. Of course, at the same time, a couple of Parisian bicycle cops show up. And they are, you know, are asking him what they're doing. And so he's telling them. And of course, they're very like kind and into it and like talking to them. And so Riley gets his drone back and they're talking to them about this clue, which it says something about the twins that are resolute.
The twins of Resolute.
Yes. And so they say, hey, do you know that's the Resolute desks that were made?
No, it seems odd. Like, okay, we're talking a lot of twin desks and like different versions of the Statue of Liberty. Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So it feels like this should be kind of part of the plot too, as well. Like maybe Ed Harris is his long lost brother that we don't know about. We don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I feel like that could have been something.
That there's right? a lot having to do with twins and
twins
doubles
or something, right? No, that's nothing. That's just part of the clues.
Well, it's not like Wilkinson's coming up with the clues. The clues are, you know, almost 100 years old.
Well, I'm just saying. Oh, that's true. You know. I'm just saying.
And it could have all been part of the conspiracy theory that it was always meant to be the brothers. But, well, in a way, you know, there's some similarity there. Anyway.
Yeah, in a way, there's like, yeah, it's mirrored.
Yeah. And like so along these lines, while all this has been going on, so like once Benjamin got the code, the cipher decoded, he called Abigail to tell her, and Wilkinson was there. He overheard it and was like, did he say La Boulay? And then realized what was going on.
Didn't he also like break into John Voight's home? Did that happen yet?
No, not yet.
Okay, I thought that happened.
No. But he did manage to, at some point here, like, he copies, well, as soon he does that.
Okay.
But I think he, like, well, first they go to Paris, and they basically follow them to England, because that's where one of the Resolute desks is in Buckingham Palace.
In Buckingham Palace, yeah.
So Wilkinson follows them there. And so Ben and Riley go to infiltrate the palace. Riley is in the bathroom, like, setting up shop with this, like, elaborate, you know, computer
in
hacking
the bathroom.
Software. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like Felicity Smoke in, like, Arrow, where he's, like, yeah. You know, the tech guy trying to help him
yeah.
get through it all.
Yep, and so Ben's going to try to get his way through. He's basically, like, drinking a little bit of alcohol and stuff like that and dipping it behind his ears and everything just so it sounds or so they think he's drunk.
Right. And at this point in the movie, we're not getting weird Nick Cage.
No.
Nick Cage has been pretty somber and pretty, yeah. like, relaxed. Not after this scene.
Well, and he was, in the last movie, too, he was pretty...
Right, but this scene kind of where we're like, yeah. Here we get some crazy Nick
Cage. It up.
Cage this up.
Yeah. And
do
so
it, cage it up.
So he's in the Buckingham Palace and then Abigail shows up.
Yeah. I don't know how.
Yeah. Well, he said that's where he's going, and she's like, what are you doing? And so she's like, wait, are you planning on robbing this place? Like, she's all of a sudden like, holy shit, what is going on?
True.
Yeah, and so they are
it seems really convenient to have her there.
Yeah,
there's no real reason for her to be there.
Well, I think, and she's like,
they
warning,
argued with each other.
Yeah, she's warning you about Wilkinson too.
Okay, but you can't call. You can't pick up a phone and call, or
no.
Okay,
have you ever seen him with a cell phone?
That's true. I never have.
I think like once or twice maybe, huh. But I mean, they do it as part of the plot points, but yeah. That's about it. No, but yeah, you're right. At some point there, Patrick Gates' house has been broken into.
Yeah.
And they clone his cell
phone.
Yeah, which is how they track his whereabouts.
Yeah, so he has to be on the cell phone.
Yeah.
You know.
Ben and Abigail make this huge scene and then are taken away and locked up in like kind of a storage area with in Buckingham Palace.
Which is exactly where he wanted to go.
Yes. And so when they walk away.
Genius cage.
There you go.
Cage in a cage. Action.
When he walks away, the guy who plays the man who takes him away is like this British actor who's been on numerous things. He used to host like a show about the American Revolution.
What?
Yeah. Serious? And he was in The Patriot with Mel Gibson.
And he gets one line in this movie?
He got like three. He also was in the show Babylon 5. Well, he wasn't in that show. There was a spinoff show.
Okay.
Where they had techno mages, where it's like people who do magic, but really it's like complex technology things.
Geek.
And he played that. That's why I was like, oh, that guy? Yeah, he's been in tons of stuff.
Nerd.
But got three lines. So.
What was that show called? Babylon 6?
No. It was, I can't remember.
Okay.
Was it
called Keep Babbling On?
No, it tanked so bad. So they were on a little ship, and when they were like, uh-oh, we're under attack, we can't keep up with it, they had this lady who would lower into this, like, virtual reality tank thing, and what? So she would be fighting.
What?
She'd be punching and kicking, and that was making
like
the guns fire. Huh?
Like an Avatar kind of thing, or like a... You know what I mean?
Yeah, she would go in it, and she'd be like, we would see her punching ships and like kicking little ships out of the way, but it was really the guns were shooting them.
What?
Yeah, it was really bad.
Okay, let's keep going.
Anyway, they go to, they're talking about the Resolute desks. Turns out these desks were made of, there was like a ship called the Resolute. That wrecked, or was like stuck in the ice or something like that.
I mean, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, they made two desks out of them.
Yeah.
One went to the president, to the White House.
To the White House.
And the other one went to Buckingham Palace.
Sure.
To the Queen. But these were actually made by, like a famous, like a maker of puzzle boxes.
Evidently.
Yeah.
Is that true in real life?
I doubt it.
I doubt that, too. Yeah. But I like it.
Yeah, I do, too. And so, like, it was actually really interesting. They're at the Queen's desk, and they're trying to figure it out. Ben is, like, laying under the desk, and as he opens them up, he realizes there's numbers on the drawers.
Yeah, they see numbers on the drawers, so they're trying to guess.
Yeah, so you open the four drawers up.
Kind of like a lock, for your suitcase.
Yeah, like a combination. And so they guessed whatever year it was for Queen Victoria. It was, like, 18-something. The desk opens, and... or like a little thing pops out.
A little panel pops out.
You turn it, push it in, another one pops out. You keep doing that until a like side like drawer opens up.
I thought like that was fucking cool. I want a desk
like
that.
That was fucking cool.
I want a desk like that.
Yeah.
You imagine you put your weed in there. I'm not saying I smoke weed. I'm just saying you could put your weed in there.
You could. You could definitely put that
in. You could do anything you would put anything you want in there.
Yeah.
You know?
And you would need that to relax after you had to go through the trouble of like... going through a puzzle box to get to your weed.
To get to your weed, I'm just saying.
Why can't I just have my weed?
Anyway.
So.
I want one of these Resolute desks, Jeremy. I want it now.
So they find this ancient wooden plank. And Abigail points out, like, this is like 400 or more years old.
I don't know why you would hide that in there, but whatever.
Yeah. Well... there was a point to it.
Okay.
So it has this ancient writing on it, these pictographs. And so Ben recognizes it. He thinks he recognizes him, but he needs to figure it out for sure. And so he is taking off with everybody, and he sees Wilkinson and his guys there. And so they're like, oh, shit. So they go running. So they're driving around England like crazy with Wilkinson in pursuit. So sure. Big, long, high-speed chase.
Big, long, high-speed chase. You don't really need that.
Yeah.
Nothing spectacular.
And then they...
they're driving on the wrong side of the road, though.
Were they?
Yeah, on the sidewalk, I remember, for a little bit of it.
It's true. So then he was like, hold on. I need to do something. So they run a red light, and he holds the plank up so that they get a picture of it.
Right.
And Riley hacks into the network and goes and finds the picture for them.
Right. So he throws it out.
Yeah, he throws the plank out because that throws Wilkinson and his guys off, and they get away.
Gets fined for littering in France. I mean, come on.
Yeah. And so... they get away. So, and they realize that, like, hey, the glyphs are partial. They just need to figure this out. So, Ben, he talks to Patrick, talks to his dad, who arranges for them to go and talk to Ben's mother.
Ben's mom?
Yeah, Emily Appleton Gates.
And you know, related to Larry Applegate.
Correct. Right? Okay. Appleton.
Appleton, whatever.
Yes. To translate, because she coincidentally is like a
Native American.
Yes, she's like the foremost authority on Native American culture and language. And that's what they think the plank is. So that works out well. Like sometimes I'm just like. Really, all these like
yeah.
all these things just happen to coincide.
I totally get it, and it gets worse in this movie.
Yeah, it does. So she translates the symbols, but points out that some of the glyphs are partial, meaning that there's another plank that has to be hidden somewhere.
So we all know it's a twin, so it's got to be in the president's desk.
Yes.
So. Now they got to break into the Oval Office.
Yeah.
How are they going to do that, Jeremy?
So Ben and Abigail go to the... Because Abigail was invited to the Easter egg roll.
Right. Ty Burrell's character.
Yeah, by Connor.
Who's coincidentally.
Who's a curator for the White House.
Yeah. He's just a curator.
And which is great. I think we see Sean Spicer in a bunny suit.
We do. We saw Sean
when he was that guy
in the bunny suit.
So they talk him into seeing the Oval Office, and they really like. I feel bad for Connor because
they're using him.
Yeah,
I do too.
Because Ben is like, I told her you wouldn't be able to do this.
It'd be different if like Connor was an asshole, but he's not that bad of a guy.
No, he's a great guy in this. So I feel really bad. So they say, okay, let's go. And so she pretends to lose an earring. They are...
You're already in the Oval Office. Like, they're like, they do this whole trick like, I bet he can't do it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, don't ask that. I bet he can't get show us the Oval Office.
And he's like, yeah, I can.
He's a curator for, like, I don't think he can he? Like, it seems very coincidental.
If he shows people on certain tours, he'd be able to.
I guess he could. I don't know. It just seems very odd.
No, it makes sense.
I don't know. I don't like it.
I don't like it. So she pretends to lose her earring. They're on the ground looking around. And he...
Gates is by the desk.
Yeah, he goes by the desk.
Doing the whole thing.
And he's doing the puzzle box piece.
Yeah.
And the first piece pops out.
Yeah.
And Abigail realizes
she's
going to get
his
attention.
Did you notice when he was on the ground, like when Gates was on the ground, he also saw a cigar and a blue dress.
Ew.
I'm just saying.
Oh. and knee pads.
And he put them on. All of it.
Oh, come on. Anyway.
Oh, they did.
so So they're looking around. Abigail's kind of playing like the like damsel in distress, which means that Connor is trying really hard to help her.
Yeah.
And she's kind of flashing a little cleavage and batting her eyes. Yeah. And, you know,
feel bad for Connor because they kiss, too.
Yeah. Well, she kisses him to distract. Yeah.
Leading them on.
To distract from everything. Well, so he goes to push the second.
Like, I don't care. They're trying to find a plank.
Pushes pushes the second one in, yeah. And it opens, and it's gone.
Yes, it's gone.
And instead, there is this symbol that's stamped into it that is.
It looks like the presidential seal. But it's not because he's holding something.
It's got a scroll in its talon. Scroll. And so
they're like, what is that symbol?
Yeah, they're like, I don't get this. Or he goes, well, it's got the presidential seal in there. And Riley goes, no, it doesn't. That's not the presidential seal. And he's like,
haven't you read my book?
Yeah. Haven't you read my book? And they're all like,
Riley, no one's read your book. That's why your car got confiscated. Okay.
Yeah.
You can't pay your taxes. You can't do anything.
So he said that there is a book called the Book of Secrets, which is contains all these.
That's what this is called, the Book of Secrets.
It's true.
It only took an hour to get to there.
But it contains all these things that are for the president's eyes only.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, the truth behind the JFK assassination, yeah, Watergate,
Area 51.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
All these conspiracies.
And so.
Is the book real? I don't know.
Yeah. And so, but that's supposedly, like, they had a thing that they got under the Freedom of Information Act, and that was actually stamped on there, which people were like, oh, what is this? And they found out that it was a Book of Secrets.
Gotcha.
So they said, well, there's only one person who can tell us that then.
Right.
The president.
So in true Nick Cage fashion, he says, we have to kidnap the president of the United States.
They're like, well, we can get a meeting with him, but that's going to take forever.
Yeah.
We got to do this quick. We're going to have to get a meeting with him. So they're like, we need to get this party, to his birthday party that's coming up, to Mount Vernon. And so they call around and they book up every other venue, forcing it to go to Mount Vernon.
Yeah.
And so when it goes to Mount Vernon, Nick Cage, Ben shows up and basically, you know, sneaks his way in. When he gets in there, he's like, here is a map that was drawn by George Washington. You know, of the estate.
Now, do we know the president's name? Do we ever know the president? He's just the president of the United States. You know what I mean? I don't think we ever know his name.
No, I don't think we do.
So here's the thing. Now, this hasn't been the first time that Bruce Greenwood, Canadian Bruce Greenwood, by the way, has played a president of the United States. He's also played president in 13 Days, where he played Kennedy, and in Kingsman, The Golden Circle. So the little fraud did it three times, a little trifecta. Pull the wool over our eyes.
How dare he?
Canadian. Ooh. Sorry.
Sorry. Sorry.
You know I'm a big Bruce Greenwood fan.
I know you are.
I mean, there's nowhere, man, that I would find that guy anywhere. I love Bruce Greenwood.
Anyway. I know you do. Anyway.
So I love that he's the president of the United States.
He's so perfect as the president, though.
He's so perfect in it. Oh, my God.
He's like that authoritative yet suave kind of. It's perfect. Anyway.
Everything that a president is, right?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay.
So he's like, Ben's like, hey, I got this map.
Right.
You know, and of course he's like, I know you, like, he was into, like, was like a history major, like,
sure,
historical cartography or something like that.
He
college.
Loves Washington.
Yes, and so he loves Washington, so they're excited about it. And he goes, I noticed there's this, like, little hidden spot over here.
Ooh.
Should we check it out?
Treasure hunting with Ben Gates.
Yeah. Well, he goes, we should check it out.
President blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. President blah, blah. And so the president and him sneak off to go find this thing. And so, and it is like, Ben is like, oh, look, if you look at this picture, this is different. This is different. And they find a secret passage. And so they're walking through this.
Even the credits say Bruce Greenwood, the president.
Yeah, right. So they're walking through this secret, or they go into the secret passage, and Ben seals it up behind them. And, of course, the president's like, what are you going to do? He's like, well, the exit's this way. We need to go this direction. And he's like, you're not going to keep me from doing whatever it is? And so he's like, nope. He's like, you're the president. I'm not going to do this. I just need time to talk to you.
Yeah.
And is trying to talk to him about the Book of Secrets. So they get out. They basically walk all the way through. And so he says, you know what? If you get it, we're going to be okay if you figure all this out. If you don't, there's nothing I can do for you, and it's going to be a federal offense.
So basically, he says, the Book of Secrets is over here.
Yeah.
You're going to have to remember this code.
Yep.
And also, take a look at what page?
47.
47.
Yeah. And so he sends him to the Library of Congress.
Right.
So they go to the Library of Congress, and it's actually kind of cool when they're looking for it. So they go to, like, this private, like, the Presidential Reserve section. And so they're walking around in there, and they don't find the code that they gave them. It's actually in a little secret compartment, like a secret safe above the other books.
The Dewey Decimal System or something, right? And it's like, where is it at? It's got to be in the middle of between these two books, so they take the books
out. It's not there, but and above it, there's a little safe. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. So in the book, Ben sees a picture of the missing plank. So he has that. He can have somebody look at it.
Right.
And an entry by President Coolidge, keep cool with Coolidge, who found the plank in 1924, had it destroyed and then commissioned, was it Gutzon Borglum? To carve Mount Rushmore, to erase the map's landmarks in order to protect a treasure. And so in the meantime, Agent Sadusky, so again played by Harvey Keitel, who is Ben's friend, he gets a call that Ben has, you know, kidnapped the president. And so he's like, oh, my God. So he follows him to the library. And so Abigail, Riley, and Ben get away. They evade capture.
All this seems so coincidental, so far-fetched. But I'm along for the ride.
Yeah, I'm too.
Why am I along for this ride? I am too. For this stupid, cheesy movie that I quite enjoy.
Well, the thing is always like, and it was like this in the first one. It was like half historical fact and half conspiracy theory.
Right.
And like somewhere in between it, you come with this like beautiful.
But look, the conspiracy theories aren't like, you know, bogging the plot down to where it's like, ugh.
No, it never does.
Meaning, oh, the earth is flat or some stupid conspiracy theory like that. Do you know what I mean?
I think part of it is because we know the things that they're referencing. And it seems endearing.
Yeah, that's true.
Like when I'm like, oh, the Declaration of Independence,
right.
I've seen that.
I know that.
Yeah.
The Statue of Liberty. Oh, wait, there's three of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
We're on to Mount Rushmore.
Yes. So
speaking of things that we know.
Yes, indeed. So they managed to escape. And they had sent... They were like, well, we need to talk to Emily to see what the rest of this means. And so they sent a picture to Patrick, basically to get it. And so Patrick is going to go in and talk to her. In the meantime, Mitch has shown up. and is trying to get her to translate it. She won't, but she does tell Patrick, like, basically gives him a code so that they know that she's in trouble, but still is able to get, you know, tell them where they need to go. So they head to Mount Rushmore. They get out there, and they end up bumping into Mitch, who, of course, at this point has kidnapped Emily, brought her with him. So it turns out they're looking for Cibola, which is the, like, city of gold.
Oh, I thought that was like a pill that you take.
Cibola?
I've seen that late at night. When, like, hey, are you suffering from, you know, this and this? Try Cibola.
Are you suffering from painful insomnia? Diarrhea?
Yeah, because I'm watching...
Cibola.
Yes, because I'm watching Give Me a Break at 3 in the morning. So, yeah, I am suffering from insomnia. Get over it!
So they basically are trying to find... she's translated the passages. And they're trying to find, at the top of Mount Rushmore, like, how to get in.
Right.
So they're looking around.
I would say through Lincoln's nostril, but that's just me.
Yeah, that seems like it would be the likely way. So they're trying to figure it out. And so it turns out, like, all these years ago, the reason that Gates burned those pages was because the Knights of the Golden Circle, or whatever it was, were going to take... They wanted to find the gold so that they could bankroll the Confederate Army.
Right.
And it would have changed the whole course of the states.
The Civil War of the states, yeah.
And it turns out that Queen Victoria was trying to help them because she needed the materials that they provided.
Hey, I'll go for it.
Yeah. And so they are looking around, and they realize if you pour water on the stone... that it gets darker. So they need to look for the symbol. There's like a bird that they're supposed to look for. They splash it around and they see this like eagle that doesn't change colors. It says you have to, like the warrior bird or whatever, you have to put your give your hand over to it or yourself over to it. So Patrick puts his hand like in the little crevice at the middle of the bird.
They're all taking water and they're going around Mount Rushmore. You know, places in Mount Rushmore. I think he sprays it on George Washington's teeth and turns it wood.
Turn wooden.
Yeah, they turn wooden.
They turn into hippo teeth.
Hippo teeth.
So they're kind of splashing it around, and they see this. Patrick puts his hand in and does a little Roman holiday.
Roman holiday, yeah. The whole
where he screams with his hand in there. Of course, everybody freaks out.
Yeah, right.
We've and Nicolas Cage laughs for a while after that.
I love Gregory Peck.
But there's a latch. He pulls it, and you see this kind of chain reaction, and then the rocks crack open and a door is there.
Sure, we'll go.
Now, whenever that you do these things in movies, that always, I don't know, like, it's such a cool effect, but at the same time, it bothers me because I'm like, that's not how that would work.
First of all, I think at this point in the movie, I turned to you and said, oh, we're watching adult Goonies.
Yep.
So that's what we're watching. So I've called this National Treasure Adult Goonies.
Yep.
And then second of all, there was like a high school that was gonna that does their prom at Mount Rushmore every year.
Yeah,
and
that just in real
happened
life.
To do it like during the filming of that, so they had to like put them somewhere else.
Yeah,
so Disney paid for them to have a prom somewhere else so they could film at Mount Rushmore, which is so cool that like Disney like bankrolled your prom.
Well, they gave away
like
door prizes and gift cards and scholarships and stuff like that,
which is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
but if anything, if you hate this movie, if anything that happened from this movie,
yeah,
so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But we are watching adult Goonies.
Yes, it is adult Goonies. So they get inside, and when they get there, like it opens up, and you see like water kind of rushing through. They, of course, all the ropes in there are like 400 years old, and this happened in the last movie too, like everything was just tenuously held together by a rope that was hundreds of years old. And so somebody touches it, which it immediately breaks, and big stone, like, you know, door starts to seal shut, and everybody's trapped inside. And then another door comes down. It separates Patrick and Emily from everybody else. So they're walking through, and they come across different traps and everything. So, like, the one, it's kind of interesting. It's Mitch, Abigail, Riley, and Ben.
Yeah.
All fall on this, like, gold square platform.
That, like, is on a, like, a ball? So it would, like,
it's on tips. Like a post.
Like a post, yeah, a post thing, yeah.
And so it's rocking, so you have to balance it out. So people had to go to each corner of it.
In order to balance it. Yeah.
And so there's a ladder over to the side for you to try to get to. So Abigail, or first, Mitch is like, nope, I'm going to be the first one off of this thing. And they said, okay. So they let him go. But after he goes, it breaks part of the way.
Right.
So then they figure out.
I thought this thing was kind of cool.
Yeah.
In my opinion. But.
Well, then they figured out, like, okay, we have to maneuver in a way to, like, keep it balanced, to keep changing it up, but then they have to move back to basically create a bigger lever to, like, push Emily up to get out of
like
there.
A Survivor, like that show Survivor, like one of their you know, things that they had to do.
So
a tribe thing that they had to do.
Yeah. You know? So Abigail gets up, or is trying to get up there, and it looks like she's going to fall. But Mitch comes back and grabs her hand and pulls her up. And, you know, I think this is interesting because it's like he's one of those characters where you, like, you don't want to like him. But I also don't think he's a bad guy.
He's doing what he thinks is right.
Yeah.
Which is clearing his family's name.
Yeah.
Right? Or saying that, you know. So he's kind of the best kind of villain because he doesn't know he's the villain.
Well, and in the first one,
he thinks what he's doing is right.
In the first one, I got the sense of, like, Sean Bean was going to kill people.
Right, and people don't like that about this movie because they want it clear. They want a black and white, like, villain.
Yeah, but I don't get a sense that, like Mitch doesn't want people to die.
No, I don't think so.
He's just like that other treasure hunter who's less ethical.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
So he helps Abigail up. So then Ben's like, okay, well, I need Riley to go then. So he gets Riley up there, and Riley's barely holding on. And the post that's below them is starting to crack and break. They realize that there's this, like, big stone or, like, gold, like, cylinder thing, and so they're like, hey, we're gonna throw this totem down, it's gonna roll, you run past it, and then you can get up. So they manage to get up, like, right in the nick of time. They walk down and they realize they end up shutting all the water off. They meet back up that's, like, flowing through. They run into Patrick and Emily, and so they're all together again, and they end up finding the city of gold. So they find Cibola and all the gold that's inside there. So, and of course, Emily is just in love with all these artifacts that she's seeing. There's also a scene where, like, John Voight is trying to be, like, he's trying to swing across on a vine, and he tries to swing across,
Helen Mirren.
And he can't, and Helen Mirren's like, oh, no, I'll grab you. Whoa! And they both go swinging across. It's kind of awkward. I really am, like, that they gave, like, John Voight and Helen Mirren this, like, well, we don't think you can do the other action. We're going to give you this goofy bit
kinda,
of crap,
like,
to do.
That's what I feel like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I think Helen Mirren could do it. I don't think John Voight could.
Oh, yeah. No, Helen Mirren could kick my ass. I think she'd be fine. So they find the City of Gold, and while they're there, they start hearing the sound, and they start seeing water trickling. Well, the room where they shut down all the water, it's starting to give way. Like, that's too much pressure from that water, right. So it starts flooding the chamber.
Under pressure.
So they realize that there is, like, a drain that they can get into to try to get out. So they go underneath the main, like, temple piece, and there is a... Like a cylinder thing you got to turn to, like, raise the door.
But be careful, because the temple guard will come and take you away if you're not careful.
So it's kind of a catch-22 here. So if they raise that, then all the water comes through and it floods the next chamber.
Yeah.
And sweeps everyone into it. But if they close it, the main chamber is going to flood. And so they're like, well, the only way to keep getting through is to get to the other side. And so...
You forgot about the Diane Chambers.
I did not.
Cheers.
Night court. So they're letting everybody through. And of course, they're trying to head through. And Wilkinson, like, starts dropping the door on him. And he's like, nope, I will not be the last one here. He's like, I'm going through there, and I'm going to get credit for this. And they're like, geez, what is your problem? We're trying to, like, survive.
Right.
And so Ben and Mitch start working on it. And Ben actually, he props the door up, and he's like, all right, you guys, I'll go through. I'll do this. He basically is going to sacrifice himself so the rest of them can make it out. And, so they're trying to make it out of there, and something happens. The door comes down, and Ben runs out to go help them. Mitch ends up grabbing the door, like the rotation, or the what do you call that? The thing to rotate the door up. He goes and catches it, and Nick Cage is like, I'm coming back. And Mitch says, nope. He's like, you know, you got to get them through. And if I let go of this, you know, we're all going to die, basically.
Yeah.
And so you can't get back up over here because you're caught in the current now, because he went to go down to by the door to save them. He's like, if I open the door, you're just going to get sucked through anyway. He's like, so it looks like I'm the one who has to sacrifice myself, not you. And so Wilkinson's going to sacrifice himself. Because he's the best option that they have. So he's going to sacrifice himself. Ben's like, no, no, no. We'll find another way. Like, we can figure this out, man. And he goes, no, we really can't. And just opens it and lets them get swept through. And he closes it. And so Wilkinson has sacrificed himself.
Yeah, sacrifice.
But he did, you know, he was like, well, you know, it makes no sense for you to try to get over here and whatever. It's got to be me. And I was like, okay, like, you know, and he said, give me credit. I want credit as part of this. He
just wants credit.
I just want credit for my family. He was talking about, like, his family didn't have all these things. He wants their name to be remembered, like the Gates name. And so they get out, and Ben ends up clearing his family name with a discovery. And he gets cleared of all charges and said that Ben actually saved his life, you know, kind of gives him all this credit for stuff. Ben, they said, well, who did this? And Ben says, well, you know, us and Mitch Wilkinson, Wilkerson, who sacrificed himself. So he gives credit to Mitch. And at the end, the president mentions the favor that he asked of Ben when he gave him the location of the book and said, well, did you, you know, look at what was on page 47? And he says, yes, you won't believe it. It's life-changing. And they take off.
Yeah.
And so they don't say what it is.
No, they don't say it.
Nope. And they just leave it at that. Not even a clue. And then in the meantime, a lady that has actually read Riley's book wants it to be autographed. And then, and so he's just like feeling on top of the world.
He found the one fan in like in South Dakota.
Yeah. Right. But then in the end, Riley gets the Ferrari back because the president says he owes him a favor. So he gave it back to him tax free. And then in the meantime, Ben and Abigail get back together.
So you've been deuced. The end.
Indeed, the
end. That's what we thought of it, but let's see what other people thought of it, shall we?
Yeah.
This person gave it a 7 out of 10. This is a very diverse, like, this movie, either you hate it or you love it. There's no gray area in this, I found when I was reading reviews. Distressed 12 gave it a 7 out of 10. Not quite as exciting as the original. While I found this film to be very good, I didn't think it was quite as good as the original. The film follows the same formula as the original, but takes long to get going and a bit slow going in some parts. And it wasn't quite as exciting. The first film was thrilling from almost start to finish, whereas this film wasn't. Don't get me wrong, there are some very, very thrilling moments. Just not as many as I've hoped there was. All right, so there's that. And this person is John4323, gave it a 1 out of 10, and says, National Disgrace. Okay, so the first installment was hardly rocket science, but this was just plain awful. If you can't get past the unbelievable plot line and excuse the cardboard acting for most of the cast, then they have been a Scooby-Doo script to deal with. This city has been missing for over 1,000 years. Oh, wait, there it is. But wait, what? We can't get in? Hang on. It says it can see a pig playing banjo. Well, there's a full moon from the door can open. Hang on. I have such a pig. How convenient. This is total crap for mindless idiots. And I like mindless films. If you value your time and know of your life, save yourself 2 hours and miss this garbage.
So we've talked about that. Where there is some truth to that.
Yeah, there is a little bit of truth
like,
to that.
Oh, your mother happens to be like the foremost authority on this language that just happens to pop out of a desk of things that you're, you know, I mean, like it's that element is there.
This is a popcorn. These are popcorn movies. They're meant to be just enjoyed. Just shut up and enjoy them and just get over the fact.
Not even that. It's just like, that's how fucking movies work, man.
I know, right?
Have you never seen a movie before?
Movie where you're like, oh, like that's what plot is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We have
things
to
come. Things come back. Things circle around.
Right.
And while this one is a little like, you know, cheesier than the others, it's a family movie. Like, come on.
Yeah, that's true, too.
This is something you see as a freaking family.
Right. You're right. It is a very family movie. There's not that much cussing in it.
Yeah.
There's no blood.
No.
So, yeah, it's a very family-oriented movie. Yeah. Well, not oriented, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, it's family-friendly.
Yeah, I don't think you need to knock the movie. Look, it's...
No.
Is it mindless? Yeah, kind of, but it's fun.
I don't think it's mindless, even. I learned stuff from this movie.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, the first National Treasure and this one, both of them, I'm not going to lie, there's things where I was like, is that true? And then looked it up and was like, holy shit, that was true.
Or it's not. But that was cool that they had that in the Resolute desk.
Yeah. Yes. And so, like, I don't think it's mindless.
Well, I don't think mindless is the word I want. Maybe.
Yeah.
Not cheesy, but, like, it's just kind of there. You know,
I get what you're like when lives. You said popcorn movie. I think that sums
it up.
It's
a popcorn movie. Yeah,
it is a popcorn movie.
Yeah.
And what's the difference between this and fucking Indiana Jones?
I mean, not really.
I mean, Indiana Jones, you know, you take there's more factuality in this than there is in Indiana Jones.
You know, I can you know, people are like what's the Last Crusade?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you don't see ghosts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A lot of people don't see ghosts.
Yeah.
So you're not going to see the ghost at the end of the Last Crusade or anything. you know,
yeah,
going through all the steps and clues. It's the same thing. It's just a modern Indiana Jones in a way.
Yeah, really.
And this movie is better than Crystal Skull.
I would agree.
Let's go through our five questions.
Let us go through those five questions.
I go crazy. Before I start watching Pluto Nash again.
Why do you keep digging on Pluto Nash? You know you like it.
I do.
You do?
No.
Okay, so let's say, what's your favorite part?
Took you a while to get that.
I know. You would think I would.
I really love Bruce Greenwood in this movie. And that's just me, though. But he's not in it that much.
No.
But what he is in it for, he eats that scene up, right?
Yes. Like, oh, God,
he
does.
He actually steals the movie right there from Nicolas Cage. Am I right?
Yeah.
Just by being him. Like, his character has no name. I actually think the best part of this movie is Travis Trent. You forgot that he was in this movie. You forgot to mention that. Travis Trent was at that party he was at.
Yeah. Singing for the president.
But I really enjoyed Bruce Greenwood.
It Travis Trent or Randy Travis?
Randy Travis. Did I say Travis Trent? Travis. I get those two confused because of the Trent thing.
Yeah.
Randy Travis. I don't know. I really think he's my favorite part. I really also enjoy the fact that it just kind of, to me, I don't think it's the opposite of that. I think there's parts where you're like, oh, you're going from over here to over here. I like that it's a treasure hunt.
Yeah.
I've always enjoyed treasure hunts.
Yes.
You know, growing up, you're always like, oh, I can find a treasure. Like the whole, you know what I mean? You always want to be on a treasure hunt. I don't know.
Yeah.
What's your favorite part?
I like the treasure hunt aspect of it, the mystery, the treasure hunt piece of it. And so I like that aspect about both of these movies, about the first and the second
one. I saw this one first.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've seen the other one, though.
Yeah.
Okay. I actually like the treasure hunt in the first one a little bit better.
Okay.
I think they do it a little bit better.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of second movies feel this need to go to Europe.
Yeah, why is that?
Blade 2 and like all these other
weird.
Things.
Yeah.
They always go to Europe and I'm like, no. But this one is fine. Like the scene in France I thought was fine. And the, like, Buckingham Palace thing, I was kind of like, oh, okay. But see, those things, I don't feel as vested in those because they're not, like...
They're not American.
Yeah. And, like, it's not national treasure. Yeah. That's international treasure.
International treasure. That is true.
Yeah.
It's international treasure.
But I think that I do like that aspect of it. Like, I like, because I'm always like, ooh, what are they going to find
next?
I'm
going to tell you the truth. This movie wasted Helen Mirren.
It did. Oh, it criminally wasted Helen Mirren.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's move on to the next one then. So, would you reboot, continue, or cancel?
I want to see a third one. I think these are fun enough. I think they make enough movie. I think, you know, like, people watch they make 100 of those racing movies. What are those racing movies?
Fast and the Furious. Laborious. Right?
Like,
yeah.
Why can't they make more of these? I think these are, like, these are nice family adventure movies.
Agreed.
And I think we can add Helen Mirren and have a little bit more with her.
Yeah.
And less of John Voight, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. No, I'm fine with that. So
Maybe it starts with like John Voight's funeral and he leaves clues on something and Helen Mirren has to like help him.
Yeah.
I don't know, but leave John Voight out of it.
No, I'm fine. I'd be fine with dropping Voight.
Drop the Voight.
I think
I want a third one.
Yeah, I do too. I think continue. Like, I think rebooting is silly.
No, don't
for
reboot
something
it.
Like this. And I think that canceling, I don't want that either. So I think
no, it's so much fun. Like, look. It could be the third movie is whatever's on that page, the 47, that he's helping with Bruce Greenwood. There we get more Bruce Greenwood in it.
Well, now if it's been so long.
Oh, that's true.
Well, I guess maybe he's retired now, or he's the ex-president.
Yeah, there you go.
Now he can go adventuring
also,
with them.
Like, I also love the fact that we don't know he's a Democrat or a Republican.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah.
It's nothing. Because that's not what this movie is about.
Yeah.
So I like that.
But he could go adventuring with him now because he's the ex-president. They can just, the whole time, they just call him Mr. President. We never learn his name. Never once. And at the end, he's like, my name is Julian Flibblebottoms.
Mm-hmm. President Flibblebottoms.
That's why people
voted
for him.
We've been through worse.
Flibblebottom, you've been through worse. as late as, like, this summer, in, like, June or July of 2018, John Turteltaub actually said that they've still been working on it.
Yes.
Which... I could see that, because Disney doesn't want to lose the, you know.
I don't think Disney wants to lose this. I think that they, you know,
yeah.
I think they still have an audience for this movie.
I do too. Really, I think it's good they pace it out, but, like, they want to make sure it's something unique enough that it's not just, like, the same thing again.
Why not have a trilogy of this?
Yeah. Well, they said they're looking at it and saying, well, do we want it to revolve around whatever was on page 47? Or not. And so I'm like, do it.
Yeah.
Like, we've gone, like, beginning of, you know, American history. And then, like, we did it again, or, like, later in American history, but we went back to, like, pre-American history. Mm-hmm. Part of me is like, maybe this is one from the last, you know, 50 years or maybe. Something like that, or last 70 years.
There you go.
So, do you think this movie stands on its own?
No.
I would agree. I don't think it does either.
No, because who's Abigail, if you don't know it?
Yep, and you wouldn't know, like, the thing about the house or where they're living or, like...
Yeah.
I mean, really, you wouldn't understand any of the stuff that's going on.
The whole fact that he writes a book based on the first movie alone.
Yes. Oh, yeah. No, this doesn't stand up on its own. Does it make you want to watch the first movie?
Yes.
Me too.
Yes, it makes me want to watch it. I don't know why, but and you know what? Like, I have said this over and over again. Put the movie on, go wash dishes or do something, and come back. Don't do that to this movie. Just sit back, and, like, even if you're having a bad day, I don't care what, just sit back and watch one of these movies. Because, like, it will kind of cheer you up a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's not harmful. It's not
cynical.
It's not cynical. It's not anything bad. Yeah. There's no point of view to it. It's what it is.
So in the first movie, there's a scene when Sadusky manages to capture Gates, and he's got the Benjamin Franklin bifocals on his desk.
Oh, yeah.
With the document next to it. And he's tapping them, so, like, the little lens goes up and it goes down and you see, like, the words change with it. And that's when Ben knows what the glasses are for. Every time that part happens, I'm always like, oh, because I know, like, oh, he knows what's going on now. Yeah. Like, it, you know, and it's right there and everybody's so close to it. I love that scene. And every time I watch that, I love that scene.
Yeah.
And these movies are fun. They just are.
It's fun.
Describe your experience in two words.
I think popcorn movie.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my experience. Like we said, these movies are meant to just be enjoyed.
Yeah.
Like, just enjoy the movies. You know what I mean?
There's
nothing to them. You don't have to put that much thought into them. They spell out the mystery for you. You got to go, oh, yeah, they're at the, you know... Statue of Liberty, or they're over here.
Yeah.
You know, they make it familiar enough, but they don't have to, like, they don't talk down to you, but they don't talk up. You know, it's just the right kind of, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't pander to you. It just is what it is. So I would say popcorn movie.
I would say National Adventure.
Okay.
As well. So, no, I mean, it's like, I love the adventure. And, like, it's not, yeah, it's treasure hunting, but I love the aspect of, like, exploring things from American history at the same time. You know, and kind of taking it this way. Like, we're so used to movies that were about, you know, like, think of all the Indiana Jones things. It's like all these ancient civilizations or, like, you know, these things were, that are from the distant, distant past. And, you know, this movie is really about America's, you know, national treasure. But, you know, it's about stuff that deals with our history. And it's interesting that it's, like, far enough back, but really not that far. And so it's not like these ancient treasures. It's treasures that are, like, have only been here for a short period.
Hey, it's 2018, almost 2019. I think it's time for another national treasure. I think
I agree.
People will be okay. They're fine with Nicolas Cage doing these movies. They're not fine with Nicolas Cage doing these weird movies. They're fine with him doing these movies.
Let me, when was the last, when did this one come out?
Oh, I don't know. You're putting me on the spot. We have these devices that are connected to us all the time.
2007.
Is it 2007? So we're talking like over 10 years.
So if the next movie comes out and he's got like a 10-year-old sidekick, his kid helping him.
Bullshit. Bullshit. I'd hate it. Do not do that.
You don't think that's going
to
happen?
I don't want that to happen.
I don't want it to either, but do you think it's
like
going to happen?
Like Abigail and him have a kid? And yes. Like, no, bullshit. Don't do that. Don't keep the main cast except John Boyd. Leave him at home. Helen Mirren can be in it if she wants.
It'll be his son, who's named Patrick after his late grandfather.
No. No. What if his name is Patrick Heaven's Gate? What about that?
Heaven's Gate. Oh, Heaven's Gate.
Yeah. I don't know. I say don't. But that's just me. But I do. I want a third one of this movie.
I do too.
Hopefully one day they'll have it. And we can go watch it. So
yeah.
I think you've been deuced on that episode
yes.
of what do we got going up there, Jeremy? Or where can people find us? Yo, you can find me at 3 o'clock in the morning watching Give Me a Break.
You can. That is where you frequently are found. Just muttering to
I
yourself.
I love Dale Carter.
Give me a break.
I shall deserve it.
Well, you can find us at thedeucepodcast.podbean.com, at Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes. Make sure you're rating us on any of those services. You can also find us at nophonynetwork.com. You can find us on Twitter at The Deuce Podcast, or of course on our Facebook page. Make sure you like and follow us on there as well.
So what have we got coming down the pipeline? It's going to be Thanksgiving soon.
It is.
It's going to be Thanksgiving.
And we're sorry for the infrequency of a couple of these episodes, but we have some other things going on in
we
our
do.
Lives, of
in
course.
In our lives, we are.
Yeah.
I mean, we can share it.
Yeah.
We got a house.
We did get a house.
So
and
we are
so,
moving.
Yeah. So we're going to be moving into our new studio here at some point.
Yes.
And so we're going to get it set up with all of the bells and whistles and that kind of fun stuff.
So we're kind of in the process of that. So we've been kind of MIA, you would say.
Yeah.
We wanted to do this one during voting, but that didn't happen.
Well, we got it between voting and Veterans Day.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So we got that. But what are we doing? Are we doing something special for Thanksgiving?
We are.
Are we?
Yes.
Should we say?
Should we
just keep it hidden from people?
I think we should just keep it hidden.
We'll keep it hidden, but hopefully you guys will love it. I'm sure you will, because you'd be like, what the hell is this?
Yes.
So keep an eye out for that one. And remember, the sequel is king.